We have two readings this morning. The first is from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. And then the second reading will be Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this, too, is a chasing after the wind. With much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. And now the second reading, chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom, and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise have eyes in their head, while the fool walks in the darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise must too die.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Erica. And good morning, everyone. Great to see you. Can I really urge you to keep those passages open in front of you as we delve into and think about them this morning? Friends, do you ever stop and wonder about the deepest and the most important questions of life? Do you think about the origin of this world, how we and all humanity came to be? Or the question of identity, who really are we? Why does my life matter? Also purpose, why are we actually here? Why do we bother with all this? And how should we live? Who actually decides what is right and what is wrong? And what is our destiny? What is really going to happen when you die? Sometimes we don't give these things a single thought. We're just too busy getting on with it, aren't we? We've got work to do. We've got responsibilities to fulfill. We have a to-do list that needs sorting out. But yet there are other times, aren't there, when such matters weigh heavy on our hearts. When the craziness in this world gets to us and we just grieve the terrible way that people keep on treating each other. Or when our plans fall in a heap and life is so tough and things that we used to treasure just don't seem so important anymore. Or when we lose those who we love. Or we face our own mortality and we realize just how fleeting life really is. There will come a time for all of us when we are faced with the big questions of life like these. And that is why it is valuable for us to spend time in the book of Ecclesiastes, because here the author, Solomon, grapples intensely with the enigma of life, seeking to understand the point of it all. About 12 months ago, we looked together at some sections of this book, and if you're keen, the sermons are available on our website. But I thought it would be good for us to return this summer and to think about some further passages as we prepare ourselves for the year ahead. Now, you may remember or know that that in the opening of this book, Solomon begins with a rather miserable proposition. Chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Meaningless. Meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." And then he provides some compelling evidence for why he feels that way, showing us that he really is in the pits of despair. And that's so ironic, isn't it? Because Solomon was a man who had it all. He was king over a mighty, prosperous nation. He was powerful and popular. He was wealthy and influential. He had everything his heart could possibly desire, everything that we humans are striving for. And yet he concluded that it's all vanity, empty, worthless, futile. Life, he says, is meaningless. But he wasn't satisfied to leave it at that. For he then proceeds to go on and to search for better answers, to try and find hope and significance and purpose amidst the futility. And in the verses we're looking at today, we see that as part of that search, his attention turns to wisdom. Ecclesiastes 1, 12 and 13, "I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens." Verses 16 and 17, "I said to myself, 'Look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge.' Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly." And again, chapter 2, verse 12, Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done?" So what's wisdom? How would you define it? Well, it begins with information, knowledge, and experience, doesn't it? Gained through learning and absorbing and investigating. But it goes far deeper than that, doesn't it? I mean, you may have the knowledge to understand that a tomato is a fruit, but yet you need wisdom to realize that you should not put that tomato in a fruit salad. For true wisdom isn't just knowing, is it? But it's also using and applying that knowledge to develop insight and understanding and good judgment and to be able to navigate all the complexities of life. That's what Solomon wanted. Not just to study and gain facts, but to find answers to the deepest questions, to make sense of the chaos of the world, to become astute and prudent and clever, to find peace and hope and purpose. As king of Israel, he could access all of the greatest minds and all of the greatest learning that there was. He could research and he could explore everything that was done under the heavens. And as a result, he says that he increased in wisdom more than any ruler before him. And as he did, he contrasted it all with madness and folly. He wanted to understand the real difference between cleverness and foolishness. He wanted to know the real benefits of being wise. But Solomon isn't alone in his search, is he? There's many in our world today who are seeking to be or claiming to be incredibly wise. We look to politicians and world leaders to make good decisions and provide guidance. We look to academics to research and study so they can solve our problems and help us to progress. We look to philosophers and social commentators, whether religious or atheist, to explain this world to us. We look to entertainers and celebrities and influencers to tell us how we can make our lives better. But you don't have to be among the elite to participate in this search for wisdom. You can get it from your family, from your friends. How often haven't you received sage advice on life from your neighbor or from your hairdresser or from your mechanic? Or look at all the views and all the advice that's posted on social media and then all the many more replies and responses. And you soon see that everyone has an opinion and everyone knows better and everyone considers themselves to be astonishingly sensible and wise. But so do we. We listen to parents, to teachers, to others who speak into our lives. We read books, we watch TV shows, we listen to podcasts, we scour the internet for information. For we all want greater wisdom, and we want it because we want to make our lives better. Albert Einstein once said, "Wisdom is not a product of schooling, but of the lifelong attempt to acquire it." Epicurus, the Greek philosopher, once wrote, "Let no one be slow to seek wisdom when he is young, nor weary in the search of it when he has grown old. For no age is too early or too late for the health of the soul." Friends, we're all searching, whether we realize it or not. We're all looking for answers. We're all looking for hope. We're all looking for meaning. But what good does it do us in the end? Well, Solomon came to some surprising conclusions, didn't he? First of all, we should see that Solomon concluded that there's definitely value in wisdom. Listen to chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He says, "I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise have eyes in their heads, while the fool walks in the darkness." Whatever else he may say, Solomon understood that wisdom is always preferable to stupidity. The fool is confused and irrational. They do not listen to advice. They make bad decisions. They don't see the implications of their actions, and their lives do not go well. Of course there's value in wisdom. Of course it's the better way. Everyone can see that. But even so, Solomon soon discovered that wisdom also has some very severe limitations. For a start, he came to see that wisdom comes with a huge challenge. Chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens." What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. You know, sometimes we say ignorance is bliss, don't we? And how true that is. If you don't know about a problem, well, then you don't worry about it, do you? And in the same way, the foolish are ignorant and oblivious to reality, and as a result, they don't think about the deep questions, and thus they never even have to worry about the answers. But when we truly seek to understand, when we truly wrestle with the meaning of life, then we discover that the answers aren't so easy to attain, and they can be so unsatisfactory, and that can leave us feeling anxious and depressed. What a burden it can be to face reality. But that's because, despite its benefits, Solomon soon saw that wisdom simply cannot fix the problems in this world or the problems in your life. Verse 15, he says, "What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted." Humanity has had thousands of years to grow in knowledge and insight, and yet the world is still in turmoil. Because no matter how wise we think that we have become, we just can't make things right. We've seen that in past weeks as our government has tried to devise ways to address what happened at Bondi Beach. "In our wisdom, we'll tighten gun laws," they say. "In our wisdom, we'll clamp down on hate speech," they say. "In our wisdom, we'll increase the powers of the AFP and ASIO," they say. But yet all along, the elephant in the room is that no one has any clue of how to address the core of the issue, the evil heart that fosters hatred and seeks to harm and to kill. No government has the wisdom to deal with that. Human cleverness has never managed to end wars or put an end to poverty or injustice or eradicate sickness or disease or disability or to prevent natural disasters or crime or abuse. Nor has it enabled even one of us to go even close to finding a perfect life. What is crooked cannot be straightened, Solomon says. What is lacking cannot be counted. And as a result, Solomon also saw that in the end our search will sadly lead to misery. Verse 18, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. The more we know about this world and all of its troubles, the more we realize the struggles in our own lives, the more unhappy we become. Because we realize that we'll never solve the evil and the immorality, the unfairness and the hatred, the heartache and the pain. And so as a result, even those who are wisest in this world are in fact no happier than the rest. But the deepest challenge Solomon faced, he describes in chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. For he says, the wise have eyes in their heads while the fool walks in darkness, but I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die. Not only does wisdom create a heavy burden, and it fails to fix all the problems, and it arouses sorrow and grief, but yet at the end of the day, there's also no advantage. Both the wise and the foolish will face the same fate. They'll both die and they'll both be forgotten. The smartest and the stupidest share the same legacy, absolutely zero. So what's the point of chasing wisdom? Maybe your life will be a bit better, but before you know it, it'll be finished anyway, Solomon says, and it makes no difference in the end. And so his ultimate conclusion is that the pursuit of wisdom is futile. Chapter 1, verse 14, all of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Verse 17, but I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. Chapter 2, verse 15, what then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. Solomon concludes that his search is a waste of time because wisdom is worthless. But now you may be thinking to yourself that there's something very strange going on here. You may be thinking to yourself, well, the Bible, the word of our Lord, in fact, commends and praises wisdom. How can this be? I mean, chapter 7 of this very same book says this, wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Or think of Proverbs chapter 3. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Or Ephesians chapter 5. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Or there's James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So what's going on? How can Solomon conclude that wisdom is useless while other parts of God's word tell us that it is valuable, that it is a blessing, that it is something to seek and to pray for? Well, friends, this is where we absolutely must understand Ecclesiastes correctly. And you may remember this from last year. Because you see, at the beginning of this book, Solomon is quite intentionally seeking the wisdom of this world apart from God. That's what he's testing out. That's what he's exposing. Not the Lord's wisdom, but human wisdom. We see this in the fact that the Lord's barely mentioned in this passage. In fact, only in verse 13 where Solomon says, God's laid a heavy burden on mankind. Other than that, God does not rate a mention. We also see it in the fact that Solomon conducts his search, as he says in that same verse, under the heavens. Or in the next verse, under the sun. You see, this is the key to understanding this entire book. The search for meaning under the sun. Without reference to the divine. Without submission to the Lord. We need to realize that Solomon's conclusion is not that wisdom in and of itself is futile, but rather that worldly wisdom, the wisdom of humans that they seek in themselves, the wisdom that ignores the Creator, is ultimately hollow, vain, and meaningless. And that's why the Old Testament declares to us over and over again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The only path to true insight begins with the humble acknowledgement of God. And so other parts of the Bible make it clear that there is in fact two different and in fact opposite kinds of wisdom. For example, in James chapter 3, he speaks there about a kind of wisdom that he says does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And then James goes on to speak of another kind of wisdom that does come from heaven, and he says that it is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Well, my friends, consider 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2, where Paul also speaks of two kinds of wisdom. Listen to what it says in chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Paul writes, "Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." Or chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. Paul there says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom," he says, "among the mature, not the wisdom of this age, or the wisdom of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Do you see, friends? If we are seeking the answers to the big questions of life in the wisdom of this world and of this age, then we are always going to be bitterly disappointed, because in the end it has no answers. It cannot tell us where we came from, or who we are, or why we are here. It cannot determine what is right and wrong, and it definitely cannot reveal what lies beyond the grave. But yet God's wisdom is the very opposite, because he provides us with the perfect answers to all of our deepest questions. The Lord has revealed to us that he is the maker of the heavens and the earth, and that he has created us, you and me, in his own image. He has revealed that our purpose in this world is to love and to serve and to glorify him and to enjoy his blessings forever. He has revealed how we should live in order to honor him and to benefit ourselves and to make this world a better place And he has told us that if we trust in him, then we are destined for eternal life in his presence, where all these troubles will be gone. But of course, friends, we know that we're not worthy of these blessings of God, far less of entering his eternal presence, because our sins make us unrighteous in his sight and deserving of his judgment and his condemnation. But you see, that's exactly why the wisdom of God is all centered on the cross of Jesus Christ. And that is something that this world, in its wisdom, will never understand. To them, it is ridiculous. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And a little later, it says, "Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Friends, Solomon has shown us today that wisdom is meaningless. That is, if it is worldly, human, secular wisdom. It's a burden. It solves no problems. It brings only sorrow. It does you no good in the end. And all because worldly wisdom pursues meaning and answers without reference to God. We truly must understand the difference. Some Christians really struggle with this. They mix their faith with human philosophy. They chase after every wind of teaching without discernment. They worry about all the alarmist messages that the world is proclaiming. And they give too much credence to worldly ideas, and as a result are filled with confusion and doubts. My brothers and sisters in Christ, secular wisdom cannot, and in fact does not want to, lead us to the God who created us in his own image, nor to the very reasons why he put us here. Secular wisdom cannot identify the fundamental problem in this world, far less solve it, because it refuses to seek the answer in that God has given in his Son, who died and rose again to save us from our sin, but also to save us from our futility. And thus it also cannot understand this eternal hope that only the Lord can provide. Today, Solomon reminds us to look beyond the wisdom of this world, to look beyond the sun, to the wisdom of the Lord our God. And as we do that, let us rejoice in the fact that he has delivered us. He has delivered us from our sin and our condemnation, from our sorrow and from our grief, from our emptiness and our futility. And let us rejoice that he has opened our minds to understand truths that this world cannot comprehend. Because the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power and it is the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Lord God, Father in heaven, thank you for your glorious word, and for the way that it cuts deep into our souls. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who takes the words on the page of the Bible and lights them up so that we can understand the message you want us to receive. Lord, thank you for showing us today the futility of human wisdom. It's certainly better than foolishness, but yet it cannot hope to answer the most important questions of life. And that's why it leaves so many feeling empty in the end. But yet, Lord God, you have revealed the truth to those who look beyond the sun and put their trust in you. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for opening our minds to know that you are the one who made us, and you are the one who put us here and gave us the lives that we had, and you are the one who made this entire world that we see around us. And Father, we want to thank you for the relationship that we can have with you and how that gives us purpose as we seek to serve you and bear witness to you and glorify your holy name. And Father, we thank you that all this is possible because of the salvation we have in Christ Jesus, covering all of our transgressions and opening the way to heaven where we will enjoy your perfect companionship forevermore. Lord, we ask you, make us wise. Give us discernment and faith. Please fill us with joy and with hope. Please give us the vision to see that our lives have purpose and meaning that the world will never understand. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.